House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Services for, what day is it? Tuesday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. How could I? Okay, and I will open a public hearing on SCR 6. Welcome, Senator. Could someone close the door? If you wouldn't mind, thank you so much. Oh, yes, the general reminder to please turn off your cell phones so they don't interfere with the...
There's only one other person to testify on this. Could I bring that person up, too?
Of course.
Yeah, John Powell. Good afternoon, Chair Cowan and members of the committee. I'm Senator Lori Montes-Anderson, and I happen to be a senator from Gresham, Troutdale, Wood Village, and Fairview. And I have a wonderful SCR 6 to a very, very wonderful man that passed away. SCR 6 is memorializes Vern Cook, who was born in 1925 and he died in 2008. He was an eccentric, and he was a very, very smart man. And he just... didn't ever need notes. He graduated from Reed, but he did so much for the Democratic Party, but he was an attorney and did so much for the community. My father remembers him as his paper boy way back in the 50s. So he's very well known, and I would actually like to turn it over to John Powell, who actually has some really neat stories to tell about him.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is John Powell, representing myself. I was fortunate enough to serve 8 years in the Senate with Vern Cook, and found this old picture in my boxes of junk at home, and made copies so you could see Vern probably in his favorite pose. He was a man who loved laughter and was very quick and witty, and could always had a dry sense of humor that I particularly enjoyed. So we often joked. And usually at the most tense time, one of us would think of something funny. And this was in a hearing on revenue during a very tense time. And we're both laughing. You can't even see me. I'm laughing so hard. Anyway, Vern... As the senator said, was extremely bright. He could remember the statutes, knew what they meant, never had to refer to a book. In fact, one day, Senator Cook had this habit of asking for recognition during debate and start talking about the wrong bill. He thought we were on the next bill. And so one time it happened, and I went back to his desk, and I don't know how it is today with the electronics you have, but in those days, each member had bill books behind them in the other member's desk that you could refer to the bills if you needed to. And Vern's were on the floor just in a kind of a pile. And I said, Senator, why don't you have somebody file those bills? And he says, the bills are the same. They just change the numbers from session to session. And he could remember the bills from previous session. This eighth session, this bill has been around. He always loved to tell the story of when he considered running for the U.S. Senate against Mark Hatfield. He asked his very good political buddy, Glenn Otto, who was in the House at the time, if he thought that was a good idea. And Glenn didn't miss a beat and said, Senator Cook, I think it's a fabulous idea, but make sure the gentleman's dead at least 10 days before the election or he'll still beat you. And Vern loved to tell that story. Probably in terms of impact, there was a tax plan supported by Governor McCaul that Senator Cook did not like. And he took it upon himself to go around the state and argue against this. And Jim Redden, who had been the state treasurer and then was attorney general, was favoring the bill, a Democrat. And so they set up a series of debates around the state with Jim Redden and Vern Cook. And after the first one, then Attorney General Redden shook his head and said, I won't win one of these. Because Senator Cook would say there's five types of arguments you shouldn't listen to. One of them is the argument of authority. And he'd go through these five different arguments. Just because of governor's for it doesn't mean it's good. And then he would turn around on that same audience and use all five of those and get a standing ovation. And he was just very, 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 very good. At the bottom of all of this was just a very, very fine man, a family man who cared about his family, raised five children. He had a wonderful wife who was a nurse.
Thank you very much. I am going to at least temporarily close the public hearing and then reopen it in a moment so we can work a couple bills, but I wanted to respect your time.
Thank you very much.
I will close the public hearing on SCR 6, and John, if you want to stick around for a work session on it, you're welcome to. It's up to you. Thank you. With that, I would like to work the three bills that we heard at the last meeting of this group before we lose one of our members. So I'll open a work session on SJM 2. Mr. Molina, could you very briefly remind us what we're doing?
Yes, Madam Chair. Senate Joint Memorial 2 urges Congress to create and fund a statewide veterans transportation system that will transport veterans, particularly disabled veterans, to and from VA medical facilities. This is the fourth time we're hearing this. There are no amendments, no fiscal or revenue impacts at this time, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. I think we're prepared for a motion.
Madam Chair.
Whatever I just meant to say. Representative Matthews.
I'd like to make a motion that we move SJM 2 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. We have a motion before us to move SJM 2 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Debbie, could you call the roll, please?
Aye.
Representative
Escobar?
Aye.
Representative
Kahn? Aye.
Representative
Brenner? Aye.
Representative
Wagner? Aye.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Matthews?
Aye.
Chair Callan?
Aye. SJM 2, having received the majority, is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Let's see. Yes, the note says carrier. I'm looking to see who was on this bill. Anyone want to carry this bill?
I'll carry it.
Representative Widener. Okay. I will close the work session on SJM 2, open the work session on SB 94.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 94 allows the Director of the Department of Veterans Affairs to request fingerprints for the purposes of conducting criminal background checks on all agency and non-agency personnel who come into contact of ODVA personal records, financial and tax transactions, business mail relating to the agency, and its clients for future processes. No revenue impact. There is a minimal fiscal impact on this. And no amendments. We've heard this. This is the second time we were hearing this.
Are you ready for a motion on this? Representative Riley.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 94A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. We have a motion to move Senate Bill 94A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Debbie, could you call the roll, please?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Escobar?
Aye.
Representative
Kahn?
Aye.
Representative Riley?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Representative Freeman?
Aye.
Matthews?
Aye.
Ms.
Allen? Aye. SB 94A, having received the required majority, is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. It is unanimous. We could move that to consent, but it might raise some questions. Is there anyone? Representative Matthews, would you like to carry?
I'll carry, Madam Chair.
All right. Close the work session on Senate Bill 94A and open work session on Senate Bill 98.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 98 establishes the Task Force on Veterans Transportation to study methods for creating a statewide transportation system to assist veterans in accessing health care facilities. Sunsets on the first date of the 2011 legislative session, declares an emergency, effective on passage. No revenue impact. There is a minimal fiscal impact on this. And this is the third time we are hearing this bill here, Madam Chair.
We have discussed this rather relatively thoroughly. I believe we're ready for a motion. Representative Esquivel?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move Senate Bill 98 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Esquivel moves Senate Bill 98 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Debbie?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative
Comp?
Aye.
Representative Riley?
Aye.
Representative Weidner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Matthews?
Aye.
Chair
Callan? Aye. Having received the required majority, Senate Bill 98 is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I think I'll carry this one since I haven't done one of the veterans' bills for a while. So. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 98. Thank you, committee. I wanted to try to respect Representative Comp's needs here. So, make sure I'm in the right place here. I didn't mean to cut the public hearing off, so I'm going to reopen the public hearing on SCR 6 just to make certain that there isn't anyone else that would like to speak to this. I don't believe we have anyone here who served with the good senator, but Representative Matthews?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And yes, the good senator, Vern Cook, was known to me through the legislation, but also, more importantly, probably as an attorney within our city. He had over five decades of service, and he was just always kind of known for, as you heard from John Powell, his mind. Very incredible, and if you were going to go up against Vern Cook on anything, you just better have your ducks in a row. So, a very good man. A lot of great deal of service to the citizens of Gresham, to the state of Oregon. And so I'm you know, very happy that this was brought forward and proud to be part of the sponsorship on it.
Well, Representative Matthews, since you are one of the co-sponsors on this bill, it looks to me like we are sadly in need of someone who could keep us with that kind of laughter. Do you think you could step into that role then as well?
Madam Chair, I'm new here, but I am slowly finding my way into that realm, yeah. So it's what's funny about this photo, I guess, as we look at that is that's, you know, just as recent as probably 6 months ago, that's Vern Cook still to this day, found kind of in the center of people laughing and enjoying life. So that's a great picture. I'm glad whoever provided that they gave that to us.
That was from John Powell. Del Isham would enjoy that picture,
I was
too.
Say, the glasses, the hair.
Yeah, just studying that a little
look,
bit.
Yeah.
So. All righty. If there's no one else that wants to add comments on this, I will close the public hearing on SCR 6 and open a work session on Senate Concurrent Resolution 6. Representative Matthews?
Madam Chair, I move that I make a motion that we move the Senate Concurrent Resolution 6 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Matthews moves Senate Concurrent Resolution 6 to the floor with a due adopt recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Debbie.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Esquivel?
Aye.
Representative
Comp?
Excuse.
Representative Riley?
Aye.
Representative
Weidner?
Aye.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Matthews?
Aye.
Chair Callan?
Aye. Having received the required majority, SCR 6 is moved to the floor with a due adopt recommendation. Representative Matthews, would you like to work with Representative Call and co-carry this?
Absolutely,
one?
Madam Chair. Yes. Okay.
Thank you. I'll close the work session on SCR 6. I am now slowing my pace, awaiting the arrival of Senator Walker. Who won't be here for another 9 minutes, I believe. So. Yes. Did she want to be part of this discussion, though? Should we recess or should we
go find her?
Well, I'm sure she's intending to come as soon as she can.
Her intent was to be here and open it up.
Would Would you like us to wait for Senator Walker or go ahead and begin?
I think she wants to be here.
Okay, I'm going to recess the committee for a few moments. We will come back together at 1:30.
I was asking where your brother's at.
No, he's sick.
He's sick?
Thank you.
I don't know the bill today.
Thank you for your patience. We will reconvene the House Veterans and Emergency Services Committee and welcome Senator Walker and her compatriot here. We are going to, I guess I should open the public hearing on SCR 11. Mr. Molina.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Concurrent Resolution 11 memorializes the life of James Klonoski, 1925 to 2009, expresses condolences to his survivors and appreciation of his lifelong public service, dedication, and commitment to the people of Lane County and all Oregonians, outlines his many personal and professional achievements. Madam Chair, this does not have a revenue or fiscal impact, and no amendments at this time.
Thank you. Welcome to our little world here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Vicki Walker from District 7, I appreciate you allowing me the time. We were on the floor late today. My staff is all out sick today, and life is just kind of an interesting turn of events. But I had this on my calendar at 1:30, so I appreciate that we are here. I am just absolutely thrilled to be here once again talking about my favorite law school professor, but my favorite professor the University of Oregon. I was going to law school and became a court reporter instead. But Jim Klonoski was the inspiration that kept me going. I came from Reedsport High School as someone who never thought she was going to be able to go to school. Very poor family. My mother had four children with no child support. And so we were very poor, and I'd been working all my life, and I had a high school counselor who said, you need to go to college, and I said, oh, yeah, right, and how am I going to do that? And he said, there's all kinds of free money out there for poor kids like you, and I said, okay, fine, let's sign me up. And this man helped me, and this man had Lou Gehrig's disease and was dying of Lou Gehrig's disease at the time. So I was very touched by his outreach to me. And so that began my maturation as an adult. And then I went to the U of O and met Jim Klonoski. He was the first professor I had in American government. And I was majoring in political science. And he actually, quite frankly, scared the heck out of me because he made you pay attention. Boy, did he make you pay attention in class. If you were reading the Oregon Daily Emerald, the newspaper of the University of Oregon, or anything but his textbook or not paying attention to his lecture, he would call you out on it and ask you, Ms. Mahaffey, what do you find so interesting besides my lecture? Now, he never called me out on it because I didn't break the rules then, but he did call others out on it, and I appreciated that. And the thing is, he always remembered your name. He learned your name. He asked you where you were from, and I was proud to say I was from the small town of Reedsport, and he knew exactly where that was. And he prided himself on knowing his students and encouraging his students. I just love this man dearly. I took every class I could. It was very hard to take his classes because there was a long list of students always wanting to take them, and he was a tough grader. But after the memorial service, I went home, and I looked at my transcript, and I got all A's in his class, so I was very pleased. But we had a memorial service for Jim, and I'm here with Zach Klonoski, one of his sons, and Jim died on the birthday of his favorite politician, Theodore Roosevelt, or Franklin Roosevelt. My daughter loves Theodore because of the teddy bear. But Franklin Roosevelt, and he died at 83. And I have to tell you, he was just a tremendous inspiration for many, many generations of students and young people. And his son is going to tell you some of the great adventures that they went through growing up. And I hope you touch on the newspaper story, because I love that one, Zach. But I want to turn it over to Zach at this time so he can talk about how important Jim was to the family as well as to Oregon, because truly he was an inspiration. He served many, many years at the University of Oregon as a professor, left and came back, and he also served as state party chair of the Democratic Party of Oregon at one time. Why he ever wanted to do that, I don't know, because I've been a county party chair, and it's like herding cats. But, you know, he believed in politics, and he believed in the role of government, and he inspired you to participate in your government, because that's really what we need to do. So, if
Thank
you don't
you,
mind.
Senator. And Zach, you had to grow up with this tough grader, so you
I did.
Can share a little with us from the family perspective.
All right. Chair Cowan and members of the committee, my name is Zach Klonowski. I'm here to testify on behalf of the Klonowski-Aiken family. My father's life was dedicated to improving the political process and political discourse in the state of Oregon. For 40 years, he taught literally thousands of students in his political science classes at the University of Oregon, along with chairing the Democratic Party of Oregon in the 1970s. It is so important that the state of Oregon recognize the contributions of people like Jim Klonowski. Although their contributions to the state cannot be measured in dollars and cents, their ability to engage young people in the political process and instill in them a commitment to public service is something our state should stop and recognize. My father believed so strongly in our democratic way of life and the ability of an active, engaged citizenry to bring about positive changes in our society. It was not this belief that made him such a special person. It was that he lived those beliefs every day of his life. Not only did he live those beliefs, he instilled them into thousands of students. He invested his time and energy in teaching because he knew there was no better way to have a positive impact on the lives of young people. Although I did not have the pleasure of taking a class from Professor Klonowski, I did have the opportunity to read hundreds of letters sent to him from former students expressing the tremendous impact he had on their lives. These letters, especially the ones received later in his life, always put a smile on his face. I would read the letters and realize that my father was no ordinary college professor. He had a unique ability to reach people and help make them into the best possible versions of themselves. His lessons stayed with his students and helped them throughout their lives. His legacy lives on through them. On a more personal note, when I was rejected from my university of choice and forced to attend what I considered to be an inferior institution, my dad never wavered in his support of my education. He got me excited about the university I was accepted to, and his enthusiasm and belief in my potential as a student helped me excel at the university level. Without his support, I doubt I would ever have graduated from college. Although I wasn't able to take a class taught by Professor Klonowski, I still find myself, years after my own graduation, like so many of his former students, writing him a letter thanking him for helping me become the best possible version of myself. My dad was a special person, and I miss him every day, and the newspaper story, that's Nick's story, so I'm not going to tell it to you today. But
well, you can tell the story about how you never knew you could get paid for a newspaper job,
that's
Madam
true.
Chair, and what their father did. That's the newspaper story I really like, so I wish you'd share that.
All five of his sons had paper outs, but we didn't receive paychecks, and we wondered why that was. But every year when we graduated from high school, there would be a fund saved up of all the money that he had put aside, and we got to take a special trip with him to anywhere we wanted to go. My brothers went to Europe with him. I decided to go to Cooperstown, the Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame, because he loved baseball more than anything, and we had that in common because I played in high school. So that was one of the funny things. We did the paper out for years, didn't know where the money went, and then we got this special trip to go on with him, which was great.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, that's who Jim Klonowski is. His children learned the value of contributions to our community, and they also learned what was out there in the world and that they could make choices and that their choices are the choices that they made. And there are consequences to their choices, and there are also rewards. And so each of the children got to go on a special trip with their dad upon graduation, and I just thought that was pretty cool. That's Jim. That's the kind of guy he was. I just loved seeing him all throughout my political career because he'd always tell me he was proud of me, and that made me feel like I had really learned something in school because he wouldn't have been proud of me if I wasn't doing very good. So it's just an honor to be able to bestow this honor upon such an incredible person who touched so many lives. And there were many lives, as Zach can tell you. Zach's mother, Ann Aiken, is a federal judge in Eugene, and she and I have had many conversations because I worked in the same building, and Anne has the same passion for community service that her husband did, and it's just wonderful to see the children doing the same thing as their parents, giving back to their community and caring about the political world and the social world that we live in, because they often intertwine.
Thank you, and thank you very much for being here and for bringing this to us.
You're welcome.
Are there any questions or comments? Ready?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming. I enjoyed my visit with you as well before this, Zach, and it was enjoyable to get to know your father through you.
Thank you.
With that, I will close the public hearing on SCR 11A and open a work session on SCR 11A.
Representative Matthews?
Madam Chair, I move SCR 11A to the floor with a as adopted recommendation.
Thank you. We have a motion to move Senate Concurrent Resolution 11A to the floor with a do adopt recommendation. Is there any further discussion or questions? Debbie?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Representative Escobel?
Aye.
Representative Kong?
Excused.
Representative Riley?
Aye.
Representative Widener?
Aye.
Vice Chair Freeman?
Aye.
Vice Chair Matthews?
Aye.
Chair Cowan?
Aye. Having received the required majority, Senate Concurrent Resolution 9 is adopted, is sent to the floor with a do adopt resolution. I see that the representatives co-sponsoring this resolution are Representative Jefferson Smith and Scott Brune. So I think we should probably ask them if they would like to carry this.
It's 11.
Did I say something else?
You said 9.
I believe 9.
Sorry, I said 11. Senate Concurrent Resolution 11. Sorry about that. You see, I didn't even hear it. So thank you. So with that, let's check with them to see if they would like to carry it, and if not, we'll.
Who is it, Brune?
It looks like Jefferson Smith and Scott Brune are the representatives who are the co-sponsors.
I believe he was Jefferson Smith's professor, and some of the others as well. So, right.
Okay.
That's
so does that sound like the two people that would like to carry this? Okay. We'll take care of that then. And I'm certain that Speaker's office will work with the family to arrange an appropriate date for this to be heard on the floor. So thank you. With that, we will close the work session on SCR 11A. And thank you again for coming.
Thank you.
If there's no other business before the committee today, I'll remind you that we will have an informational hearing on Thursday to talk a little bit about deployment-related issues for our folks. And with that, I adjourn this meeting. And Representative